asking for my name. I'll be right here listening. I'll be right here listening. I'll be right here listening for my name. For my name, I'll be right here listening. I'll be right here listening. I'll be right here listening for my name. If my robe is white when he calls me, if my robe is white, I will hear. If my robe is white when he calls me, I'll be right here listening for my name. I'll be right here listening. I'll be right here listening. I'll be right here listening for my name. For my name, I'll be right here listening. I'll be right here listening. I'll be right here listening for my name in the Word. Amen.
That's what he's adding. Amen. Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. You ready for the Word?
Amen.
So let's just go right on in, sing, if open the eyes of my heart, to Brother Aaron comes to bring the Word of the Lord unto us. Amen. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you.
Amen.
I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart.
How's he doing?
I want to see you. I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of power and love as we sing, holy, 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 high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory, pour out your power and love as we sing.
Bless you tonight.
Amen.
Good to be in the house of the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Y'all can be seated. I'm going to borrow that if you can. Yeah. No, I got one. I got one. I'm wired for sound now. Good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. Want to do a song tonight? You got it turned on? Yeah, it should be good now. Yeah, he's not shy. I don't know where he gets that from.
No.
But Mom and Dad's supposed to be watching in tonight, so we'll say hello to them.
Amen.
And thank the Lord for what he's done for my dad.
Amen.
And appreciate all the prayers. And going to do a song Dad used to sing when he was in the trauma center, you know, kind of touch and go. We didn't know if he was going to make it or not, but just had it in the hands of the Lord.
Right.
And I went in there and Mom wanted me to sing something. So this is a song that I sang to him while he was there. And then one last week when we were up there, last weekend when we were up there, I asked Dad, I said, "Do you remember this song?" And he said, "Yes." So we're going to sing it tonight. But it's one of my favorite songs. And G. How many knows that He'll deliver you?
Amen.
You know, that's what I sang to Dad. He'll deliver you in your time of need.
Glory.
The Bible's full of God doing miracles. When it didn't look like it was a way out, He come on the scene.
Amen.
You know, just like the Hebrew children, they were in that fiery furnace, going in that fiery furnace. And they stood there and they said, you know, God may not deliver us, but we won't bow. He's more than able to deliver us. But we have a testimony.
Glory.
We know who our God is, and we're not going to bow to any other image, no idol, no man-made idea, creed, doctrine. We know what is truth. And God honored their faith and come on the scene.
Glory.
So. You've heard the story of Paul and Silas, how they were bound and thrown into jail. They kept on praying, they didn't worry, they were serving a God that could not fail. Well, on about midnight, God sent an earthquake, for the whole foundation began to shake. Yes, He'll deliver me in my time of need, like those Hebrew children from that fire. He freed and He fed 5,000 with 2 fishes and bread, and He walked on the water, and He raised the dead. Well, He stood by Daniel in the lion's den. He saved God bless you tonight. Let's stand. We'll look into the scripture tonight. Amen. Praise the Lord. He will deliver us.
Amen.
And you know, there's one thing about it. How many can say that He has delivered you?
Amen.
Amen. That you've seen Him come on the scene.
Glory.
Amen.
That's kind of one of the things I want to talk about tonight. I don't know how this is going to go, but y'all just pray for me. And what's that? Lead, follow, get out of the way. So, you know, I don't know. I may jump up and down. I may shout. I don't know what I'm going to do.
No.
I don't know what I'm going to do. I may cry. I don't know. But you know, tonight. I want to look at something tonight. The title of this is called A Book of Remembrance, and the word I want to look at tonight is called rehearse. I want to look at this word rehearse because there's times in the scripture that we look at, and God talks about rehearsing, and one of the scripture we're going to read from is Exodus chapter 17, but I want to look at this word where Moses writes a book for Joshua. And he says to rehearse it in the ears of Joshua. And that's what I want to talk about tonight. Because, you know, the thing is, you know, God has been so good to us. And you know what? If we don't praise God, he said the rocks would cry out. And let me tell you what, I don't know about the rest of you, but I got a lot to thank him for. And you know, I mean, you go back through your life and you look at things that God's done for you. And where he's brought you to and where he's brought you from. I tell you what, if you can't shout, you're dead.
Amen. Right. Amen. Right.
And I may shout tonight.
Amen.
I may cry. I don't know what I'm going to do.
Amen.
But you know, when you sing God work, you know, you can't thank him enough.
Glory.
Amen. That's right.
Amen. Right.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
I feel good tonight.
Glory.
So, appreciate this opportunity to speak. And Brother Dale wanted me to speak last Wednesday. I had an oral surgery, and I had a sinus infection, so it wouldn't have been very good last week. So, it all worked out. I didn't want to tell him no, but I had to. So, but the Lord worked it out. So, I'm clear, and I'm okay. So.
Glory.
Thank the Lord for that, and the Lord's good to us. And I know there's many needs tonight, but you know I want to look at this and I want to look at faith. Brother Donnie says, Brother Aaron, you like to preach on faith. Well, you know it's the resting place. It's the firm foundation of the Word of God is to have faith. You got to have faith. And I know there's many needs. And you know, tonight when we looked at, before we read the scripture, I want to pray, and I want each one of us. Not, I don't want this just to be another prayer, but I want us to be real sincere about what we're praying about.
Amen.
I mean, really think about what we're praying. And I have a friend of mine that his son is in Children's Health Care of Atlanta tonight, and he's got bronchitis. His name's Bryson, so we're gonna pray for him.
Amen.
Because his wife Hillary sent out a message earlier saying, y'all, for everybody to pray. So, you know, everybody was going to church tonight. So I was like, well, we're definitely going to be praying because we gathered in the house of God tonight. So we're going to talk to him because, you know, the one thing where he said, where two or three are gathered in my name, I'm in the midst. And a guy that I work with, I don't know if y'all have seen the news, the young lady that's been missing from Atlanta. Clark Atlanta University, named Alexis Crawford. Her brother works with me. And she's been missing since, I think, the 30th of October. So y'all just pray for them tonight. They've had it, the family's really taking this hard, as anybody would. And you know, we believe that they can find her alive and everything. But you know, I pray when I see people when there's missing people, you know, I always pray. It's like, Lord, if they don't find them alive, at least let them find them. I've had friends where they lose a loved one and they don't recover the body. it brings closure to the family. Even right. When you lose somebody, at least you have them with you, and it helps with the grieving process. So we just want, but you know, it's not got to that point yet. But you know, we still want to believe God. He's a miracle working God, and He can take care of all things. We just want to pray to Him and let Him come on the scene, because He always does. So let's just all bow our heads tonight. If you have a need, you know, on your heart tonight, uplifted hands. Amen. We're a needy people, but we serve a great God. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord God, we love you tonight because you first loved us. Lord, no man can come to you. Lord, it takes you to draw us to yourself, and we're just so thankful tonight, Lord, that you've made this way, that you called us into this glorious life, this glorious gospel, Lord. And Father, tonight we just pray that you come and help us tonight. Help me get out of the way. Lord, you come and speak the words tonight, Lord. I can't speak them. Lord, I can study, I can pray, I can do many things, Lord, but it takes you to come and come on the scene and speak to each heart and each life. And Father, for each hand that's been raised, Lord, you know what the needs are, Lord. Lord, we've already prayed once tonight, Lord, but you said pray without ceasing. Lord, we committed ourselves to you. Lord, we commit all of these needs to you. Lord, for little Bryson there in the hospital tonight, Lord, we pray that the angel of the Lord goes, touches his little body. Lord, just a little infant boy, Lord, trying to breathe. The enemy has attacked his little body, but there's a blood of Calvary that's still flowing tonight, Lord. And we can claim healing. Lord, there's no one there to intercede for him, Lord, but the bride of Jesus Christ can. And Lord, we just believe that you'll just do a miracle tonight. And Lord, for this one that's been missing, Lord, Alexis, Lord, we don't know where she's at, Lord, but we commit it to you. And Lord, you comfort the family tonight, Lord Jesus. We believe that you'll come on the scene and Lord, work everything out for your honor and glory. Lord, we commit ourselves tonight, Lord. We pray that you just anoint the speaker tonight, Lord, and the hearer tonight, Lord. Lord, let us just give you the preeminence in this service tonight, that you may speak to our hearts. Lord, we commit it, and we just pray for the bride around the world, Lord, as they gather. Lord, as they face different battles, Lord, we just pray that you be with them, strengthen them, touch them, bless the workers, Lord, the ministry, as it goes forth, Lord, that it will accomplish what it's supposed to do. And Lord, bring in the lost ones, Lord, and just minister in a special way to each one. Lord, I was just thinking of Brother Ernie. I believe he's supposed to be going to Cambodia from what I was reading. Lord, we just pray that for the different ones that are traveling, Lord, wherever they're going, whatever the ministry is, the meetings, Lord, pray that they'll be a blessing to the people, Lord Jesus. Anoint each one. Lord, we commit it all to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. 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 Exodus chapter 17, begin at verse 8. I'm starting to leak already. Y'all pray for me. It says, then came Amalek and fought with Israel at Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go out and fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon. And Adam and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on one side and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book, and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, for I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. And Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi. For he said, because the Lord has sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. And then Malachi 3, verse 16, and it says, "Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name."
Amen.
Amen. God bless you tonight. You may be seated. Like I said, I don't know how this is going to go, but we're going somewhere.
Amen.
So y'all just pray for me tonight. But I was thinking of in our Constitution of the United States, our founding fathers wrote a passage in there that says that we hold these truths to be self-evident, that we have been endowed by our Creator certain unalienable rights, and that which is life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That was given to us. And, you know, I was thinking on those lines, and, you know, it was so amazing that the founding fathers wrote that we have been given these rights by God, by our Creator. We were given these, and, you know, even though the government has tried to take them away and they've tried to do many things, but yet these things have been given to us. And they even said it's self-evident that we realize that we've been given these certain rights by God, that we have life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And, you know, it was the same way today, even though in the Constitution tells you that's what governments came for, to watch over these things and, you know, help protect our rights. But, you know, today we have these rights. We have rights, and unalienable or inalienable means that they cannot be taken away. It means that they have been given to the possessor, and there's no way that they can be taken away from the possessor. And, you know, it's the same thing in the Word of God, because even when we look, it's in the Scripture. You know, we have these rights that we talk about in the country, that we have rights. But, you know, we have rights not as citizens of the United States or anything. We have rights because we are children of God. And we have these rights, and, you know, we have been given these by God. We have the right to do these things. We have a right to come boldly before the throne of grace. We have a right to claim what's in the Scripture. We have been given these rights, and I thought it was great the way they said it's inalienable. Why? Because nobody can take these rights away from you. If you are a child of God, you've been given these rights. They belong to you, and there's no way that they can be taken away from you. God's not an Indian giver. He gives you these rights, and then you can stand on these rights. And it says we have been given life. Well, you know, we do have life. Why? Because we have eternal life. He said, "I come that you might have life, and that you might have life more abundantly." And not only because he said, "Wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty."
Amen.
So we're living in a time of liberty when everybody's trying to live in darkness and bondage, but yet we have liberty. We are living in a time of light. We are living in this great freedom that we have because God has given it to us as children of God. Because the Bible tells us, said we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, that we might suffer with him, but we possess the same things that he possesses. So if he was free, then we're free. If he was not bound by anything, then we're not bound by anything. But the thing is if you don't claim your rights, then you can be bound. But if you claim your rights, then you don't have to be bound. And so we can be free, and we can pursue happiness, or we can pursue the life of God. We can take the leadership of God and go as far as we want to. Because, you know, he said that we're predestinated by our desire, because it's not what he wants, because it's what we want.
Amen.
God's not going to override your free moral agency. He's going to give you that opportunity. But you know what? If you want to go to a body change, then you have the opportunity to go to a body change. But, you know, if you don't want to, you don't have to go to. Why? Because the scripture, Galatians, tells us that a child that was born a son. But you know, he had to be tutored. He had to be raised up. He had to be governed to come to a place that he could come to maturity. But he was always a son when he was born. And you and I are the same way. We're born as children, but we can be raised up in the image of God. We can come to full maturity in God. But you know, it's our desire whether we want to meet that or not. So we have that opportunity. It belongs to us. We have been given those rights. And you know, here when Moses was speaking to, you know, it was so interesting when God tells Moses to write this in a book, put this in a memorial to Moses, and he said, and rehearse this in the ears of Joshua. You know, right before this time, right before the Amalek attacks Israel, they are out there in the wilderness. If you go back and read the first part of the chapter, they're in the wilderness and they're complaining that they have no water. They're sitting there drying and they want to go back to Egypt. And they're wanting to stone Moses because you've brought us out here in this wilderness to die and wish we could just go back and live in bondage the way we did before, when not realizing that God was on the scene. God was there to meet and do a miracle in their midst, but they didn't see that. They didn't see, even though God had already done miracles in their midst, here he come another time to do another miracle in their midst, and they did not realize it and they did not believe it. That he had already done miracles in their midst. And here he come. And then Moses talks to God, prays to God. And he said, take the rod and smite the rock and see if water doesn't come forth. And so he smote the rock and the water came forth. But you know what? There were a whole bunch of ungrateful Israelites standing in the desert watching water flow out of a rock. And they couldn't give God praise. And they couldn't thank God for the miracle that happened in their midst. And then all of a sudden, here comes Amalek attacking them when they'd seen God happen before. And then, here he said, choose men to come and fight. And he said, write this miracle in a book and go and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua. There was something that happened there that God wanted Joshua never to forget what happened here. What happened here? Because Moses stood on the rock and he told him, he said, I'm going to go stand on the rock and I'm going to raise my hands and you're going to see you overcome Amalek by the miracle of God with him raising his hands. And he wrote that in a book and he said, rehearse that. Rehearse that in their ears. Why? Because there was something about that situation that he never wanted Joshua to get away from. He wanted Joshua to remember this. And brother and sister, God wrote these things in the scripture for our examples. He said it was to whom the ends of the world are come to. This right here, why God wants us to deal in this, because there's something to us that we need to capture. We need to understand. We need to realize. Why? Because God is the same yesterday, day, today, and forever. If he done it one time, he will do it again. And so he said, write this in a book. And he said, I will utterly destroy the remembrance of Amalek. But he wanted them to write this in a book and never forget what was done here. And the word rehearse, the word rehearse. Now, when we think of the word rehearse, we think the word rehearse means to say again, to act out, to say again, to repeat, to recite aloud in a formal manner, to present an account of, relate, like to rehearse a familiar story, to recount in order, enumerate something. But when you go back and look in the scripture, when you look up the word rehearse in the scripture, it has a deeper meaning. Oh, yeah. It has a greater meaning when it says go back and rehearse that. Yeah. In the Hebrew, and from I don't know how you pronounce it because it looks like S-A-W-M. So however you want to, psalm, whatever that is. But it means to put. It means to place. It means to set, appoint, to make. It means to direct, to extend something. It means to ordain, establish, found, appoint, constitute, make, determine, fix. It means to station, means to set in place. It means to plant. It means to make for, transform into, fashion, work, bring to pass, appoint, or to make for a sign, to give, or to be set. So when it means to rehearse something, it's not just meaning for it to just to be said. You know, because the scripture tells us faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So it's not just, you know, when we read that scripture, it's not just about hearing the word, but it's something that takes place from that. There's a transforming power behind that. So when he said to rehearse, there's a greater meaning in the word rehearse. In the scripture, when we go back and look at scriptures that talk about the word rehearse, when you look that up in the Hebrew, a few scriptures that we talk about. Number one, it says that Genesis 2:8 says, "And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed." So the word put, meaning to place him somewhere, is the word rehearse. And just give you a few other ones. Genesis 4:15 says, "And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him should kill him." So when he placed the mark upon Cain is the same word as rehearsing. There was a placing there. In Genesis chapter 22, in verse 6, and it says, "And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, and he laid it upon his upon Isaac his son, and took the knife in his hand, took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they both went, and they went both of them together." And then in verse 9 says, "And Isaac laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar." So that's the same word. All those have the same meaning as being rehearsed, being placed, being established, being formed. All those different things. In Genesis chapter 24, when Abraham talks to Eliezer, he tells Eliezer, he said, "Come and put your hand under my thigh." He said, "Eldest servant in his house that ruled over all that he had, but I pray thee, thy hand under put. I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh." Yeah. And you know the thigh in the scripture. When you look at the scripture, because the Bible says that God was riding on a white horse, and on his thigh it was written, "King of Kings and Lord of Lords." Showing power. That's where your power, because if you try to lift or move or anything, all comes from the pelvic region, which comes from the thigh. So that's the reason that was showing authority or power that Abraham had, that he was swearing that oath, showing that he was subject to Abraham. That's the reason he put his hand under his thigh. So that's the reason he swore that oath that way. But all of those have to do with having placing something. And so it's not, when we use the word rehearse, it's not just rehearsing something, not like we're just talking and telling a tall tale, but it's something that we rehearse something. We want to place this. We want it to be established in you. We want the word of God to be established, because we want something to take place from that. Yeah. So when we read the scripture, it's not to be reading the scripture because we're reading about Moses and Elijah or Joshua or the Hebrew children or anything like that, because we want to see those things take place, but we want to see ourselves in the scripture. We want to see ourselves there. Who we are is in the scripture. Why? Because those were examples to us that we can see and draw from exactly what they went through. Now, this is from the message, "Raising Jairus' Daughter." Brother Branham says, he said, "Now our subject tonight is a great understanding instance in the Bible." And this is where he talks about Jairus coming to Jesus about his daughter. And then, you know, they come and said, "Don't trouble the master, your daughter's dead." But, you know, Jesus said, "That doesn't matter." He said, "When you go home, you'll find her. She's well." He didn't worry that she was dead. I mean, whether she was sick or whether she was dead, he was still the one in control. He was still the giver of life. So when he spoke, it didn't matter. The devil had to leave anyway. She had to come back to life. He says, I love to rehearse his words here on earth. And when he was here in a corporal body, as he hath said that he would be with us and manifest himself to us until the end of the age. And the Bible says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if we can rehearse some of his instances just before we pray for the sick and declare to the sick that he that do all that he's not dead but alive. For we see of his actions and his attitudes in the days gone by, then we could expect the same thing in this day now. Don't you think so? If he is the same. And he said, now I want to speak of this. I would to God with this lovely feeling of spirit, this little group of people here, little group of people tonight, if each one of you would get in your mind, into your heart, that our Savior is not dead, but he's alive and present now, just as present as he ever was in any age gone by, just as present as he was with Noah, just as present as he was with Abraham, just as present as he was with the Hebrew children, present as he was with the patriarchs and all the apostles and all down all through the age, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever the same. He said, now let's get that in our minds and remember that he is ever present and there's no creature that could be omnipresent except for God himself, no other creature. He said, the devil is a great force. The devil has a great power and the devil is great in his power, but he's under the power of God. And the devil can only be at one place at a time. His imps can be everywhere scattered out. His demons, his co-workers, but God himself is alone in his field of omnipresence. Not an angel, but God himself. Hallelujah. Then that gives us courage. Wherever two or three are gathered together, I will be in their midst. That's universal. Amen. Everywhere. Amen. So we know that wherever two or three are gathered in his name, he said he would be there in the midst. And he is in our midst tonight. Amen. So he is here to meet our needs. If we can get that in our mind to realize he's just the same as he was back then, he's here to do the exact same thing. You know, you can't, as Brother Ram said, you can't get warm by a painted fire. But you know, there's a fire that's here tonight that's just as real as it ever was anywhere else, and he's here to meet your needs. If you have a need, then he's here to meet your needs. And you know, because if we go back in the Scripture, and we go back in our own lives, because that's one of the things I want to talk about tonight. If we go back in the Scripture and look to see what God done, if you will dwell on the things that God has done and not on your problems and not on your obstacles and not your troubles, but you will meditate on His Word day and night and look at what God has said in His Word and what the answer is, then you know what? He will come on the scene. And the message, testimony on the sea, you know, Brother Ram talks about how the disciples were in the boat together and they began to discuss the things that they had seen with God. And because, you know, and it talks about Peter and the different ones talking about, you know, there was a time when Daddy told us about what went on in the past, what they said. And they said, we read the scrolls and how they talked about how a Messiah was coming. And you know, We always go back to what Daddy said and what Mama said. But you know, today we saw, and when he come and he spoke to each one of us individually, and we have a testimony of exactly what took place. And when, you know, we were looking for him, and then he come visible among us. And as they were there in that boat speaking of that thing, then he came visible among them and come and spoke to them. In the midst of their storm, they were sitting there, and then he come and spoke to them and said, you know, don't be afraid, it is I. Why? Because they were speaking of him, and they had their mind on him, and you know, he came on in the midst. No matter what the situation looked like, you know, he came to their midst, in their midst, and he met their need and done a miracle in front of them. So he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And you know, many times we go back and look and we wonder what took place in the past and what took place back there and the different ones. But you know, the thing is he's the same, and we can go back and it really, one of the things I want to talk about, I think is very important, is to us to share with the young people, with our children, what God has done in our lives and what has happened in our family. Why? Because if you can see what God has done, you know, what God has done in your life, then you know He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. You know, the scripture, Joel 1:3 says, tell ye your children of it, and let your children tell their children and their children another generation. So it's important. Why? Because He wanted them to expound all of these things. Never let this drop. Never fail, but to continue in generation after generation after generation. He said what the palmer worm left, the canker worm ate, and He said it showed all the way down, and it continued, and you go through Joel chapter 1 and can see how bad everything just continues to get worse and get worse and get worse and get worse. But you know what? There's a time in Joel chapter 2, but He said, I will restore all the years that the canker worm ate and the locust and the caterpillar. Everything has been eaten down. He said, my great army, but He said, I'm going to restore that. And you know, many times we can go back and we can look and see all the things that's happened, and yet everything continues to get worse and continue to get worse. But let me tell you, God is here, and He's going to restore. He is here to restore because He has sent the word of restoration, and He's put it in the midst of the people. And you know what? If you can believe it, then everything that you have can be restored. It's not just about having bank accounts and having fancy cars and everything like that. But let me tell you something. You and I have the ability, have the spoken word, and we can speak life. And you know, we can have our children. We can claim our children. We can claim our loved ones. We can speak, and God will honor our faith and will answer our prayers. Why? Because He said He would. When we sit and we talk about what God has done in the past, you know, we fail to realize what God has done in our midst. You know, Gideon was there in chapter 6 of Judges. You know, Gideon talks, you know, and I'm just going to read part of this. And it says, and Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. And it came to pass, when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, which said unto them, thus saith the Lord of God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt and brought you forth out of the house of bondage and delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians and out of the hand of all that oppressed you and drave them out from before you and gave you their land. And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell, but ye have not obeyed my voice. And there came an angel unto the Lord of the Lord and sat under an oak which was in Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash the Abizite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers brought us of, told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. And the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might, that thou shalt save Israel from the hands of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. And the Lord said unto him, surely I will be with thee. Thou shalt smite the Midians as one man. I tell you what, now that, if that don't light your fire, your wood's wet. Yeah, right. Because here is a man that's living, and you know, year after year after year, the Midianites came in and stole from them, and they were impoverished, and they're starving to death, and they have nothing, and here they are, they keep going through all of this, and they're crying out to God, and all of a sudden a prophet comes into the land, and the prophet speaks unto them, and he tells them exactly what took place before. Here he is, he brings up the word and says, did you not come out of Egypt? Did you not come out of bondage? Did you not come out from all of these things and you came into the land? And not only did you get victory over your enemy, but you received their land. Right. And here you are in this midst. Yep. And now you've allowed another enemy come in and take everything from you.
Amen.
Then he said, an angel of the Lord come before Gideon and stood in his midst and told him that he was a mighty man of valor, and Gideon couldn't believe it. Like, oh, well, look what condition I'm in. Oh, we're starving to death. My family's poor in Manasseh, and I'm the least in my father's house. He said, how can these things be? But he told him, he said, you know what? He said, I'm giving you the word that you can overcome.
Amen.
That you're going to be the one that's going to do these things. And he said, it's going to be just as if it was one man.
Right.
It's so amazing that here we are and we've received the word. We've had a prophet in our age. We've received the angel of the Lord in our day. And he's come and he spoke to us and he's given us the word of overcoming. Everything that you have need of, the answers of every question has been given to us. All the things that you need for this earthly journey has been given to us. You know, there was a time, you go back and look and see what Luther went through and what Wesley and the different ones, you know, they had problems and things that and they didn't have the full word and all that. But you know what? We've been given a full word in our day.
Glory.
We've been, why? Because God has called us to this. God has called us to be the ones. There's not going to be another group come up behind us. We're the ones that's going to carry this thing on to the rapture.
Glory.
Why? Because it has been spoken. God has given us the word. He's given us that commission to take it home. There's not going to be another group come behind us. We're not looking to another age. Why? Because we need to realize this is the age in which God is dealing with. People say, oh, I wish I lived in Bible days. You're living in the greatest Bible day that you can live in. Why? Because he laid everything out for this day. This is our day. And he come to this one. And you know what? Brother Branham said, if I could live in any day, he said, I'd want to live in this day. I'd want to live in this day. Well, you know what? Brother Branham came and done his part. He fulfilled his commission. And now, you know what? He laid a commission out before each one of us. And you know what? It's our day to do the same.
Amen.
We have to come and fulfill our commission. You know, we can be just like Gideon. You know, why is all these things befalling us? And why do we have all these different problems? And why do we have all these things? Why? Because God wants you to get to a place that you can get to a place that God can come on the scene. What did Brother Ram said? The church always, the bride always done better under persecution. Why? You've got to have problems. You've got to have stress. You've got to have things laid down before you. Why? Because if you don't trust God.
Amen.
There ain't no such thing as an easy war. There ain't no such thing as an easy battle. I always talk about Abbott and Costello. Whichever one was Abbott, I guess, or Costello, I can't remember which one it is, but you know, the comedian, you know, little short fat guy, you know, he's all talking about, he was in the army, you know, he was out there and he was telling him, he told the other guy, he said, you know, he said, I was in the battle. He said, I was where the bullets were the heaviest. He said, oh, really? He said, where was that? He said, under the ammo truck.
Yeah,
people want to be there, but you know, they don't want to be where the battle's going on. They want to try to find some place to hide. But you know, you got to realize you've got to go through troubles and trials and heartaches and problems. Why? Because God wants to work a miracle in your life. And those are the things that takes place that you have to trust God. You know, nobody wants to thank God when we're on the front side of the trials and the tribulations. But you know, when we go back and you look and you see what God has done for you, you know, we can worship God on the other side, but we can't see that God's working on this side. When he's working on the front side of these. When God is working on this side and we can see the things that's taking place.
Right.
What God is doing.
Right.
We don't see that God is working in our midst. And you know, there's many things that I want to look at tonight, but I don't want to be be here too long, but you know, I want to get to this point because I wanted to look at one thing, because you know, if we can see what God has done in our lives and what God has done for us, then you know, we need to rehearse that. We need to bring that up. And you know, the thing is you have children sometimes, and they read the stories of the Bible. You can have young people, they read the stories of the Bible, and they wonder where that God is.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that God real?
Yeah.
And you know, many times we don't express in our own family what God has done. That God, you know, because we think, well, you know, I'm the only one, and we fail to realize what God has done in the past.
Yeah.
In your own personal families.
Right.
You know, many times we don't look back and we think, well, you know, what has God done in my life? What God has done in my family? And you know, sometimes when you sit down and God shows you things that's taken place, you know, and then you realize, you know, God has been all along the way.
Amen.
How did you get here?
Right.
You know, if you know, because you had to come look a certain way. There had to be certain people meet for you to come to be where you are today. And you know, if it hadn't been for the grace of God and the mercy of God, the leadership of the Holy Ghost to do the things that He done, you wouldn't be here.
Right. That's right.
I mean, you know, there's people come from other countries that come here, and all of a sudden they meet, and you know, all of a sudden, and then you're here.
Yep.
How did that take place?
Right.
You know, people don't realize that. You know, I think about my grandfather, my dad's dad. You know, he served under General Patton in World War II. He was a combat engineer. Richard can tell you some of the stories. He landed on a beach in Europe. And I think it was 53 or 54 men hit the beach, and there was only one or two of them that survived out of that whole thing. Multiple times they built a bridge like three or four times, and every time they had it built, the Germans would bomb it, and they had to go in there and rebuild the bridge. And he had a steel plate fall on him and landed on him, and he had to lay under that and pretend he was dead after everybody else was dead, and laid there until the Allies come and got the metal off of him so he could get up. He told us about being in a battle where the bullets were flying at them, and he said the angel of the Lord stood before us, and he said because the bullets were coming in our direction, and he said the bullets were going to the left and to the right. He said you could hear the ricochet off the bullets going out of our direction. He said it should have been us. And see, we think, you know, how did I get here? Why? Because it was the grace of God that I'm here.
Right.
Why? Because he had to survive that.
Yep. Sure.
For me to get here.
Right. No doubt. Amen.
And sometimes we don't think and stop and think, you know, what miracles that has happened in our lives that God has come. And you know, and then we start to look and you see how God has moved in your life, and we sometimes fail to give God praise and glory for the things that He's done in our lives.
Right.
Why? Because we can see how my dad and the situation he's in. You know, when my mom, when Levi was little, I don't know how many years ago it was, but you know, I mean, they told my dad to go ahead and make her funeral arrangements. You know, because when she got that infection in her neck and got so low that she had organ failure and everything else, and you know, and they wanted to write her off, and you know, dad wouldn't do that, and you know, and the doctor told him, said, I don't even know how she's still alive. And dad told him, said, it's because of the prayers of the saints that she's still alive. And the doctor said, you got to keep doing that because that's the only thing keeping her alive.
Amen.
Well, you know what? It's the same God that was there that protected my grandfather, that was watched over my mom, that's in the hospital with my dad tonight.
Right.
Now, we can sit there and we can say, you know, well, we don't understand how well he's going to get. You know what? God's already come on the scene when they tell you that if they don't do surgery, he's going to die. And they're not even sure if they do surgery that he's going to survive. And all of a sudden that man's laying in a hospital bed, and he can talk to you, and he knows who people are, and he knows things, and he, you know, and he's still got a long way to go. But you know what? He's a miracle laying in that bed.
Amen.
When a man wakes up every single day and the only thing he can talk about is going home and eating food, you know the man's ready to go.
Amen. Amen.
But you know, we fail to give God praise and glory for the things that have happened in our lives, because many times we don't take and sit down and take account of what God's done for us and actually sit down and look and count our blessings. You know, there was a song years ago, and it said, if you take a piece of paper and you draw a line down the middle of it, and you know, you need to write all your problems on one side and all your blessings on the other, and it says you'll always find that your blessings outnumber your troubles every time. And you know, many times we don't ever take an account of doing that and seeing what God has done for us and actually putting down in paper what God has done for us. I was thinking about Brother Ryan writing those little books of testimonies of what people have done. And you know, one little testimony, what God has done in people's lives. And you know, many times we have failed to sit down and actually take full account of what God has done for us every single time in our day, in our daily lives, to see what God has done. You know, I was thinking about before Adam was born, you know, Sarah had a lot of bleeding, and you know, they really thought that she might have miscarried. And you know, we didn't know if he was going to make it or not. But you know what? We committed him to the hands of God. I called Brother Dale, and you know, we prayed and we believed. And you know what? God brought Adam here. He's here tonight. But you know, we did not know what was going to take place. But you know what? It's not living in fear. It's knowing who's got everything in control. Who's holding tomorrow? Who's holding you? Who's holding everything? And you know, you trust God that he can come on the scene and meet your needs. Why? Because, you know, you can worry and you can fret, but you know what? There's nothing good in worry. There's nothing good in fretting. There's nothing in worrying about anything. Why? Because you've got to put it in the hands of God and watch him come on the scene.
Thank you, Lord.
You know, I thank God. I told him, I said, we went through trying to get a mortgage on this new house, and I told him, I said, you know, when we get through this thing, I may just get up in the church and run around for a while. I wanted to shout so bad. It was, why? Because, you know, you deal with one mortgage company, and they don't know split peas from coffee grounds, and they're trying to loan you money. And I was like, how in the world are y'all in business? And finally, we just dropped them. We said, listen, we got to go find somebody else. Somebody else in this world's got to be better than them. Well, you know what? It wasn't much better. I told Sarah, I was like, you know what? If we don't get a mortgage, we're just going to go rent a place, because you know what? God don't want us to have this house. But you know what? There was we prayed about it. I prayed about it. I was like, Lord, if this is your will, then you work it out.
Right.
But you know, we sat there and 2 days with our second mortgage company. And I mean, they wanted everything. They wanted so much stuff from us that I've never heard all the stuff that they wanted. Sarah finally sent her shoe size with them in one of the emails. They listed everything else that she wanted, and she put what size shoe she wore. The guy that worked for the mortgage company, he wrote back, ha, ha, ha. It's like, well, everything's online. They know everything about you. They know what, you know, you go online and look up something. You search, and next thing you know, you get emails on stuff that you looked at. Nobody else knows about. But they know more about you than you let them, when they run a background check on you, when they run your name and everything for your mortgage, and it says, this person is known by all these other names. And it's like, I didn't know people knew me by that. But you know what? Somewhere in some computer, that's why you're listed. But you look at all the things that you have to go through. And it was amazing. And 2 days before, 2 days before we closed, they said, everything's good. You're good to go. Everything's great. Okay, praise the Lord. We finally went through this. Wiping sweat. Great sigh of relief. Then they come back and said, oh, no, you owe us some more money. It's like, you know what? The wells run dry. I don't know where you plan on getting any more money. It's like, well, guess what? We're going to have to postpone it. It's like, listen, we've already been down this road, because originally the way it was set up, we were going to close on one house and buy the other one. So we were going to sell our house in the morning and buy the other house in the afternoon. And guess what? We wouldn't have to do nothing. Move from one house to the other. Well, it didn't work out that way. Next thing you know, we're having to find a place to rent for 3 weeks, trying to get this resolved.
Yeah.
Then we had to drop the mortgage company and get another mortgage company, and they were like, well, we're going to try to get you by the 10th of October. We're not sure. And he's like, well, you know what? We've done a lot of praying. And Sarah would come home and she's like, well, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know what you got to calm down. You got to calm down. She's like, well, I'm so worried. You got to calm down. And, you know, because as soon as she would come in the house, and she would be so frustrated with stuff that, you know, it just feeds through the whole house. Then everybody's frustrated. And everybody's like, I know y'all don't have to deal with that, but we do. But, you know, it's like, just calm down. You got to trust God. But, you know, it's hard to trust God when you see the things. And it's like, is there any light at the end of the tunnel? Is there no way out of this mess? Are you ever going to get anywhere? Yeah. And then after you go through all this, and then two days before you close, everything's good. And then they call you back and say, oh, we need more money. It's not going to work out. But what do you mean? And it's like, then they were saying, you're going to have to wait till Friday. It's like, no, we're closing on Thursday. It's Thursday or no deal. We got to close on Thursday. And they told us, well, that don't look like it's going to work out that way. I was like, well, you know what? We're just going to put this in the hands of the Lord and let the Lord deal with it. They told us we needed more money. So we have a very generous brother here at the church who decided to make a little loan to us till we get everything straightened out. Papa Don over here. But, you know, and then it's like, well, you can't do that because he's not related to you. Money's money. They didn't want that. They didn't like that idea. So here we go. We'll go back to square one. What are we going to do? But we had an awesome realtor. And she's like, I'm going on vacation. This lady that's selling the house to you is in the process of buying one, and she's got everything lined up. And the only problem with all of this working out is your mortgage company. So she told us that this ain't going to work. She calls the mortgage company and tells them, listen, y'all cut my commission on the selling of this house by enough money to cover the extra money that they need to close on this house. And she said, I'll take less money in the mortgage on my commission so we can get this thing worked out, because everybody else is waiting on y'all to get your act together. Yeah. Well, next thing you know, the mortgage company called us back and told us, the man that was doing the mortgage, he called me back. He said, I'm almost in tears. He said, I thought that was so wonderful. Your realtor called and she wanted to cut her commission and get all this thing worked out. And then he said, well, we're going in there and they're reworking the numbers. So it's like, oh, good. We'll see what happens. See if this thing will work out. To tell you how God moves, not only did our realtor get her full commission, the amount of money that we had to take to closing was $3,000 less than what they originally told us what our mortgage closing costs would be. That comes from them telling us, you can't close on Thursday because you don't have enough money, to them giving her full commission, and we were $3,000 less than what we had to owe. Amen. And I tell you what, if you go through all that and you're just ready to wring your hands and you just... And I told him, I said, we're just done with this. I said, we're ready to walk away from this house. I'm just not going to deal with it. I just can't. And all of a sudden, next thing you know, that worked out. I was like, you know what? I go to church. I think I'm going to dance and shout in the aisles. I said, you know, you go through that and fight two mortgage companies and go through all that. And next thing you know, you feel like, you know, all of a sudden God comes on the scene and works things out. And it's like, praise the Lord, I want to get up and dance a while. Because, you know, God, it's a miracle what God done for me. And, you know, you can't thank God enough. And it's, you know, the things like that, you know, we don't give God the glory. We don't give Him enough honor. We don't give Him enough praise of the things that He's done. You know, I want to give Him all the praise, the honor and glory, all the things that He's done for me. Why? Because He has done so much and I have been so blessed that words cannot be expressed. We don't have the human language has never expressed what God means to us. But you know, if we can sit down and we think about what God has done for us, all the blessings that we have received in this life, all the things that we have been through in this world. And you know, you think about, I think about where That man was, Brother Ram told that man about how hard it was and difficult for him to come to the meeting or come to where he was at. And, you know, they asked him, said, well, what was the problem? He said, I got in the car and I drove there.
Right.
But Brother Branham could see in that other dimension what took place.
Right.
And, you know, many times we just think, well, you know, we wonder why things happen the way they do. And, you know, many times we don't realize that God's been protecting us and the things that God has done to watch over us. And many times we find out later that God has protected us. And, you know, because, you know, there's times at work, you're working on something and you don't see the danger. You know, it's just like Brother Branham talking about Branham Tabernacle. He said where they had the fire, the furnace in the church originally, he said the rafters and everything were burnt back for several feet. And he said, how in the world it didn't fall under all that snow and everything? He said, it should have collapsed.
Right.
And, you know, you're at work, sometimes you're working on something and you don't see the danger. And all of a sudden, you just walk around like nothing's going on and all of a sudden realize, you know, that thing should have fell on me. Sometimes it's not braced right. Sometimes you forget to bolt something up. Sometimes you put weight on a frame or something that's not bolted right. I've had acetylene torches malfunction. They had a man in Charlotte many years ago that had a malfunctioning acetylene torch, and it backed up into from the torch head, it backed up into the regulators, and it caused one of the regulators to explode. And they said the knob on the front of the regulator, when it blew off, had the velocity of a 30-06 and killed him. And you think about the little things like that, we think that they're little, but you know what? There's a real danger there. You know, and there's things that happen, and all of a sudden you realize later, you know what? God was watching over us. These little things have happened. All the things that God has done in our lives where God is watching over. Sometimes we know that God has protected us, and other times we don't realize the danger that we have been in. We don't know until one of these days that we're going to see the other side and see all the things that our guardian angels had to do for us, that how many times God has protected us and watched over us, and all the things that God has done for us. How blessed we are. You know, not just in our daily walk, but in our Christian walk, how God has blessed us and brought us to the place that we are today, because God has given us eternal life. He spoke to us and come and went, found us and brought us and drawed him to himself. And then he gave us his own life. You know, filled us with the Holy Ghost and then blessed us in all spiritual blessings. Brother Ram said, we are now sitting in heavenly places because we are a child of God, because God has given us, because we are an heir of God and joint heirs with Christ, now sitting in heavenly places. How blessed we are to see who we are and what God has done for us. And you know, and not just to talk about what God has done for us, but to really lay a hold on what God has done for you and know what God is doing for you and what God wants to do for you. God wants to bless you. And you know, whatever you have need of tonight, whatever it is, financial, spiritual, whatever it is, God is here to meet your need. And you know, we are such a blessed people, and sometimes we become lax to what God wants us to do. We don't have the fervency.
Amen.
As Brother Branham said, the angel of the Lord told him, said, you need to be more sincere.
Right.
And you look at the life that Brother Branham lived. And you know, he didn't say, well, you know, I'm doing this and I'm doing that. No, look at all the stuff. He said, Lord, let me be more sincere.
Right.
Lord, let me be more sincere.
That's right. Glory.
Let us just stand tonight and have the musicians come, but I want us to look at and see what God has done for us, to rehearse those things that God has done for us. Every morning, His mercies are new. All the things that He's done for us.
Right.
He's blessed us with all spiritual blessings. I'm going to read one more thing, then we're going to sing and let them. We worship the Lord and thank the Lord for what He's done for us and realize all the blessings that we have. You know, we didn't have to earn any one thing that God done for us. It's only by His mercy and grace that He's blessed us with these things. Amen. Well, my tablet's not working. It's stung hung up. We're going to praise the Lord anyhow.
Amen.
I just want to read this passage of Scripture before we sing. It says, bless the Lord. Psalms 103 says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Amen. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known His ways unto Moses, His acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will His anger keep His anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. For He knoweth our frame, He remembereth that we are dust. For as man his days are grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear Him, and His righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep His commandment, and to those that remember His commandments to do them. The Lord hath prepared His throne in the heavens, and His kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye His angels that excel in strength, that do His commandments, hearkening unto the voice of His word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye His hosts, ye ministers of His, that do His pleasure. Bless the Lord, all His works in all places of His dominion. Bless the Lord, amen. O my soul.
Amen.
Amen. I just wanted to read that. Amen. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me. Bless His holy name. All the things that He's blessed us with. Amen. I surrender all.
All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give.
If you have a need tonight, like prayer, come.
I trust Him in His presence daily.
Sister's request tonight, Lord, for this one that needs deliverance. I pray that You go and minister in a special way, Lord. You know what the needs are. Lord, we know that You're the one to take care of all things. And Lord, we send this prayer call as agreement of our faith, Lord, that You're the same yesterday, today, and forever, that You can meet this need. And Lord, we believe and we thank You for it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Savior, I surrender all.
Surrender, the more he takes control.
Right. Amen.
Amen. To let him take care of all things. To trust him. Amen. Well, God bless you tonight. We're going to dismiss. And do you have any announcements, anything? All right. We'll just pray for one another. And you leave in town? You
go.
Well, God bless you, brother. Hope you have a good time. And you're successful. Amen. And mercy, Lord bless your travels. Watch over, keep you. Amen. God bless you, each one. And as we go tonight, ask Brother Larry if you don't mind to dismiss us in prayer, brother. Amen. God bless you tonight. You're dismissed.
As I travel through this building.